Greetings to each one this morning in Jesus' name. Thankful for what God has done, and He's given us another privilege and opportunity to gather this morning to worship Him. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. This morning, as I thought of how to introduce this message, I guess I'd like to think about letter writing, personal letters. It seems today maybe letter writing is not nearly as popular as it was at one time. We can easily communicate with text messages and cell phones and emails, and but personal letters. You know, personal letters. If you write a personal letter to a friend, you usually talk about the, you know, your own experiences in life and what's happening. And when you read someone's personal letter, you can usually tell a lot and learn a lot about that person who's writing and about the person who is being written to. And this morning, I have with me an old letter written by a man who was sitting in prison. I don't know where the prison was exactly. I think that this letter is very interesting. I would like to read. This letter as an introduction. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll stop there just a little bit. Now, you might be disappointed that I don't have a yellow paper with brown and crinkled and brittle, and, you know, that's from the 1400s. But this letter is a personal letter that was written centuries ago. And it has more value than any letter that may have been written in the 1400s. So this morning, for a message, I'd like to take the message from the book of Philemon and go through this book, through this letter. It's a personal letter that Paul was writing to a personal friend. Philemon was a companion, or the book of Philemon is a companion book to Colossians. Both of these books were written while Paul was imprisoned. Historians think it was probably at Rome, although they're not 100% sure. All the other epistles that Paul wrote were written mostly to, you know, to groups of people, to churches. But this was more on a personal basis between Paul and Philemon. And it was written in the late 50s or early 60s of the first century. And just a little bit of background. Philemon, according to history and the research that I did, Philemon was a wealthy Christian of Colossae. And Colossians, the book of Colossians also mentions Philemon. And it appears that Philemon had been converted under the Apostle Paul. There in verse 19, we can see that. Now, one thing also to remember, Paul did not have a Bible in his hands, a complete Bible like we have today. I believe he had maybe a lot of it, the Old Testament, but he did not have a complete Bible like we have today. And as he was writing this in prison, you know, there with a pen and some paper, I don't think he had any idea that his writings are going to be, this letter that he's writing to his friend Philemon is going to become part of the canon of Scripture. I don't think he had any idea that this letter would make it into the canon of Scripture. However, you know, our God, holy, omniscient, omnipotent, saw fit to take this letter that Paul wrote to his personal friend and include it in his holy Scripture. And just that fact means that there's something in this book for you and I today. This book that we call Philemon, a personal letter written to a personal friend, is part of the Holy Scriptures. So let's continue reading there now in Philemon chapter, well, it doesn't have chapters, but verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So now, as I think of, for the title of the message, I thought I'd give the title simply, The Spirit of Philemon. There's some things about his life that I glean here that are good for us to follow in our life as well. So The Spirit of Philemon. And we'd like to notice that as we go down through here. But going back to the beginning now, I'd like to look at some of the verses, verse by verse. Verse 1, Paul says, he calls Philemon dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. As we think about our human relationships and those that we love the most, you know, it might be our spouse, our parents, our children, those who are close to us. They are beloved. We love them. And this verse to me brings out the bond that Paul has here with Philemon. And I believe that this bond can be between fellow laborers, between brethren in Christ. I have heard that testimony already of one brother. You know, he had some of his family who left the scriptural teachings, were out in the world, and this was his personal testimony. His brethren in the church are more dear to him in a lot of ways than even his own biological brethren. And that bond can be in the church of Jesus Christ. He calls him a fellow laborer, working alongside of, you know, working for the same goal. They were on the same path. Paul and Philemon had the same visions and goals, and they were working together to accomplish the same purpose. And in Philippians, the book of Philippians, Paul uses the word yoke fellow to describe working together. And here he says fellow laborer. And so we think of a yoke is to harness the power of two or more. To harness the power of two or more. And I believe this is what was taking place here. Paul and Philemon desiring to work together for the cause of Christ. And then in verse 2, talking about these other two brethren, he calls them fellow soldier. You know, this brings out to me that we are in a battle. We are soldiers for Christ. Fellow soldiers, we're in a battle. We're together in this, working together for the cause of Christ, for the faithfulness of one another. And now in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is wishing a blessing upon Philemon. And you know, that should be our attitude as well as we relate to our brethren. Blessing. God's goodness and grace upon each one. Verses 4 through 6, as we notice this is one complete sentence here, these three verses. I'd like to read these three verses again and remember his one sentence bringing out a thought here. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul is remembering Philemon in his prayers, something we should do for one another as well. Every day, do we pray for our brethren? Do we pray for their victory in the Christian life and that God would bless their day? Verse 5. Notice the phrase there, hearing of thy love and faith. That phrase really caught my attention. Paul heard it through other people, hearing of thy love and faith. The grapevine effect was in place back then, I guess. Today we often talk about we hear things through the grapevine. And, you know, some things are fine. And this is one case. Paul heard this, hearing of thy love and faith. He heard it through others, I believe. And that's something good. It was something worthwhile, something good to talk about. Usually when we think of hearsay or hearing things through the grapevine, that usually has a negative concept. You know, the telling of the good things that God is doing in other people and the good work that God is doing in other places can be good things. It can be a blessing. We need to make sure it's profitable. Then he says, hearing of thy love and faith. I never really thought of faith in this aspect before, but hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus. You know, faith toward our Lord Jesus, faith in God is something we've been taught from young up. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and toward all saints. Now, how do we have faith toward saints? But Philemon did, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. So what is in that for us? We hear a lot about having love for one another and faith toward God. But what about faith toward all saints? As I thought about that, and I certainly don't profess to know what all he had in mind when he wrote this, but it's our natural tendency, I think, as we work together, labor together, to pick out the shortcomings or flaws, see other people's problems. You know, when we do that, I don't think it tends toward faith to one another. Jesus said in his sermon to first cast out the beam out of our own eye so that we can clearly see to take care of the mote in our brother's. And if we have that mote hunting attitude, then I don't think we'll have faith toward one another. Many times also, as we relate with each other, we try to read into other people's motives, and in doing so, we tend to think their motives are wrong. Last Sunday's paper from CLP has a real good article of what I'm talking about. You know, for those of you who have read that. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to read it. I forget what the title Judge Not That You Be Not Judged, I think was the title, but it was last Sunday's paper from CLP, the companions paper. Read that. You know, it brings out what we can so easily do, what our natural tendency is, to look at the faults of others. And that's not having faith toward one another. Having faith toward other saints. You know, do we encourage one another the way we should? Or are we trusting of one another? I realize trust is earned, and trust can easily be destroyed as well. Are we always on the lookout for the faults of others? Or do I spend as much time praying for others as I do thinking and talking about them? You know, prayer for one another is something that's so important in our Christian life and our human relationships. And I think as we pray for one another, God can work in their life, God can work in my life, and our faith toward each other can be built up and strengthened. It just really blessed me that as I thought about this, that Paul heard of Philemon's love and faith toward the Lord Jesus, but also toward other saints. I think there's a lesson in that for us. And then looking at verse 6, could verse 6 indicate what it means to have faith toward all saints? He goes on there, same sentence again, remember, that the communication is like the transmission of information, or that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. All right, going on to verse 7 now. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. We talked about having joy during our Sunday school. Joy is a feeling of gladness, happiness, and delight. And Paul was a recipient of this. He says, for we have great joy and consolation. Consolation is a comfort or a feeling of peace. Paul was a recipient of both of these. In thy love. Then he goes on, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. The bowels, different places the scriptures uses the word bowels. I think it's talking about the innermost being of man. That is our heart. The heart of man. So this is saying that the hearts of the saints were refreshed by Philemon. Because of what God was, the work God did in Philemon's life. Philemon was instrumental in encouraging other saints. And this is part of the spirit of Philemon, I believe, that we should remember for our life. Do I have the spirit of Philemon? You know, some people are just like this. Some people are a blessing to be around. You know, as I think of different acquaintances that I know of, some people are just plain a blessing. They're excited about the Lord and what God is doing, excited about living for the Lord. And those things have a way of rubbing off on us for the good, for our good. And I believe that Philemon was one of these type of people. And the love that Philemon had was making a positive difference in the lives of others. There was people that had great joy and consolation in the love that Philemon had. And he was a refreshing brother to other people. Now, in the next section there, verses 8 through verse 19, we have Paul interceding for Onesimus. And this is the main point, purpose for Paul writing this letter. And who was Onesimus? Well, I find it interesting that the name Onesimus means useful. Now, at this point in time, Philemon didn't find him useful, but the word Onesimus means useful. And he was a slave of Philemon and ran away and went to Rome. And it was there while Onesimus was at Rome that he met Paul. And Paul witnessed to Onesimus and he became converted. And Onesimus became dear to Paul like his son. It says somewhere, I forget which verse it is, but Onesimus became dear to Paul. And finally, Paul has convinced Onesimus to return to Philemon. And what all the reasons for, I don't know, but when someone becomes converted and we're serious about the living for the Lord, then we take care of wrong matters in the past. And I believe it was wrong the way Onesimus had left Philemon. I'm sure that there was things that needed to be made right there. And when a man becomes converted, wrongs are made right. And this is something that had to take place. Onesimus was converted, and there were some wrongs that needed to be made right. And Paul was encouraging him to go back and to take care of these things. Now, let's look more at verses 8 and 9. So Paul needs to get Philemon to see his own need to receive Onesimus again, but not as a slave. So there in verses 8 and 9, he says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient," Paul is writing to Philemon, "yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." So in verse 8, Paul is saying, he's bold enough to in Christ to enjoin. The word enjoin would mean to arrange upon, to order. He has a boldness to, "I could order you that you take back Philemon. You know, I have that. I'm bold enough in Christ to do that, to order you to take back Philemon. It's your Christian duty. You need to take him back." But verse 9, he doesn't come across that way. In verse 9, he says, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee." You know, he's not commanding Philemon what to do or how to receive Onesimus. And I believe there's a difference between ordering and beseeching. And Paul chooses to beseech Philemon for love's sake to receive Onesimus. You know, he could have commanded Philemon. Command is to give orders. You know, if we're ordered to do something, our only option is to do it or to disobey. We really don't have any other options. But beseech, the word beseech means to call near, that is to invite, invoke, to call for, to ask. There's a vast difference between beseeching and commanding. And Paul uses the approach to beseech Philemon to receive Onesimus. I believe that Paul is appealing to Philemon's conscience to do what is right. There in verse 10, "I beseech thee," again the word beseech thee, "for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." Onesimus became dear to Paul, and Paul was beseeching Philemon to receive him. So now Philemon is confronted with a choice. What will he do? Paul didn't come out and specifically command Philemon to receive Onesimus, but he beseeched him. Now, what will Philemon do? And if he does this, in what kind of spirit or attitude will Philemon receive Onesimus? Will he do Paul's request out of obligation and respect? Well, I can see here in this letter, Paul, he's basically telling me I need to take Onesimus back. And, well, okay, out of respect to Paul, I guess I will. Or was Philemon receiving him? Did Philemon receive him out of a spirit of gladness and a true heart of willingness? And we'll get to that here in a little bit. Verses 10 through verse 14, again, is one sentence. And a few things I'd like to notice in here. Paul doesn't deny the fact that Onesimus had been an unprofitable servant. But remember, things have changed since Onesimus was converted. I believe it's a Christian duty for Paul to send Onesimus back to his master to make things right. You know, Paul was asking to receive him as himself. It would have been to Paul's benefit to just keep Onesimus for my own use, for my own work in God's kingdom. But I believe that Paul realized it's Christian duty for Onesimus to go back to his master, to make things right, to take care of things, and go on with life from there. Verse 13, we can see that Paul would have liked to retain him with him. However, Paul was considerate of Philemon's side of the situation. And this is important, an important aspect of Christian relationships. How does the other person feel about the same situation? You know, is this thing that I'm facing, is it just a matter of preference or is it Bible principle? You know, we dare not compromise on Bible principles, but sometimes we need to give up just a matter of preference. Paul would have preferred to keep Onesimus with him, but verse 14 he says, "But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly." Paul was considering what Philemon had to say. Now verses 15 through 19, a few more thoughts on this. Paul is giving instructions to Philemon concerning receiving Onesimus. Verse 15, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever." It's giving a suggestion to Philemon as to why Onesimus departed to begin with. You know, consider this. Why did Onesimus possibly leave you to begin with? Verse 16, he's telling Philemon, "Don't receive him as a servant, but a brother beloved." And how we view someone makes a difference to how we treat them. Remember that how I look at a person, how I view them, makes a difference how I treat them. He's imploring Philemon to receive him not as a servant, but as a brother beloved. And verse 17, he's saying, "Receive him as myself." You know, if I would come, I know you would receive me. Receive Onesimus just like you would receive myself. Verse 18, I see that Paul is going to stand behind Onesimus. Paul is willing to make up anything lacking on Onesimus's part. "Put that on my account. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." Paul was willing to go the second mile to do what he can to restore this relationship. And then in verse 19, Paul is reminding Philemon of what he owes to Paul himself. And here in this verse, we can see that Philemon was very likely a convert of Paul from earlier in Paul's ministry. He says, "Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides." So I believe that Philemon was a convert of Paul as well, just like Onesimus was. And Paul was just reminding Philemon, look, your roots go back to the same. You're also a convert, just like Onesimus. Just remember that and receive him as you would receive myself. Now, the real spirit of Philemon that I would like to focus on, I guess the climax, is found here in verse 21. The spirit of Philemon. "Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." Think about that. Paul had confidence in Philemon's obedience. Paul was, I guess they knew each other well enough. Paul knew, he had confidence that Philemon would obey, would hear what Paul has to say. And that speaks of a close relationship. They knew each other fairly well, I believe. Paul had confidence in Philemon. And then he says, "Knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." And that's the spirit of Philemon. I would like to really impress upon our mind, "more than I say." You know, Philemon was willing to go above and beyond the request of Paul. And I believe that Philemon's life gives testimony to a life of joy and happiness and a blessing to others. And I believe here we have a reason for this. Paul was one who did more than was required. And as we think about our life from day to day, home life, you know, doesn't matter whether we're children or youth or parents, it involves everyone. What is my attitude? What's my outlook of life and my responsibilities? Philemon was one who did more than was required. You know, there's an old saying that goes like this: if you want to, you don't have to. Think about that. There's so much truth in that. If we want to do something, we don't have to. And that was the case here. So what is my life, my view of life in general? What's my view of rules and laws and restrictions and curfews and responsibilities? And the list could go on and on. How do I view these things? Is it something that restricts me and keeps me from doing the things I want to do, things I like to do? And I'm talking about, you know, we can get real practical here. Things like, you know, church house cleaning and being host and going to prison service and teaching Sunday school classes and on and on. And, you know, in my case, even preaching the word. One year I was at the minister's meetings, an older brother shared with me how that while his children were growing up, he was ordained for a long time and had children growing up. Sometimes his children would ask him, do you have to preach tomorrow again? And he would like to tell them, no, I don't have to preach. I get to preach. Like it's a privilege. I think that might be a level of maturity I don't think I have reached yet. But his spirit, his attitude, you know, I get to. It wasn't a burden to him. How is it with us and our responsibilities that God has given to us? Am I willing, do I do just enough to get by? Do I have the spirit of Philemon and do more than I say, more than is required? Why do we serve the Lord? Or why am I a Christian? Think about that question. Why am I a Christian? Well, you know, if I'm not a Christian, then I'm going to go to hell when I die. And I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I got to be a Christian. Surely there's more reason to be a Christian than that. Now, I realize, understand that point may be a reason why some people turn to Christ in repentance and forsaking their sins because of what God has in store as a punishment for those who don't live for Him. But I think as we live for the Lord, our motive should be much greater than just because I don't want to go to hell. Yes, that's a valid reason, but God has a lot more in store for us, a lot greater reason to live for Him. So why do I do the things I do? Is it because I have to? Do I ever do more than my share? You know, I think the spirit of Philemon is something important to cultivate early in life. We are selfish by nature. Our children are selfish by nature. It's not hard to see. And it's important that they get taught that there isn't always a material return for doing certain things. You know, that they sometimes need to do more than their share. I think it's important that we teach that to our children. It'll make life so much more pleasant for them later if they can learn from young up that sometimes we do more than our share. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we can have joy in doing this. This is the spirit of Philemon that I see in here. Now, I think we live in a generation where many people feel that the world owes them something. You know, people ask, well, what can I get out of this? They're not willing to do something unless there's a return for themselves of some kind. And that makes for some very unhappy people if they have the idea that the world owes me something. And we live in a day and age that the world is geared to satisfy and gratify the flesh immediately. You know, have it now. An observation that I've already made as I look at different people, I believe that the happiest, easiest to get along with people that I know of are those who are willing to give without thinking they need something in return. And I'm not necessarily talking about monetary issues, but just giving in general, giving of time and talents and help and whatever. Those people who can give without thought of return are one of the happiest peoples that I know of. You know, as I reflect on their life, you know, I can see that they were taught these principles. Some of these people never had much in the way of material goods, but that doesn't matter because joy in life doesn't come from material things. It comes from serving the Lord out of a willing heart. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And Jesus wouldn't say that if it's not true. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Remember, Jesus would not have said that if it wouldn't be true. More than I say, that's the spirit of Philemon. Paul had confidence that not only will Philemon do what he said, but he'll do more than I say. And if we have that and catch that spirit in our life, then we can find the Christian life to be a blessing. So doing more than is required, doing more than my share, to be willing to give without getting, going above and beyond, going the second mile, these are all the Philemon spirit and will bring real happiness and satisfaction in life. I looked for the song. I couldn't find it in any of our song books, but the song, Working the Road, Helping the Weak and Blind, I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven's abode and make it easier for those behind. You know, if I'm just in the Christian life for what I can get out for myself, I'm missing a blessing. Are we looking out for those coming behind us? Are we willing to go above and beyond? Are we willing to do more than is required to make it easier for those following behind us? You know, if we can just catch that spirit, then we'll find blessing and happiness in our Christian life. So Paul then, he closes this epistle there in verse 25. Paul closes with wishing the grace of Jesus Christ to be with Philemon's spirit. And if I have the Philemon spirit, then I can have the grace of Jesus Christ on me as well. You know, it's available for every one of us here. What is my attitude, my outlook on life, and how do I relate? Am I willing? Do I have the Philemon spirit to go above and beyond, to do more than is required? Wish you God's blessing, and may God bless you as we go from here, as we live the Christian life. You find a blessing and joy in serving Him. Shall we kneel for a word of prayer?